Shawa, Tuxknusum, Salamat, thank you, and welcome to Juno Afternoon for a Friday. I'm Boston Christopher. Today, the 40th annual Spring Festival is in full bloom by Juno Jazz and Classics. Today, we chat with the team about what you can expect for the remainder of the festival, including the Blues Cruise with Dottie Kelly. Today is First Friday. In addition to all the artwork on display around town, the Juno Community Bands is having a chamber music concert this evening. We'll have a preview. And we'll start this hour chatting with representatives from Tlingit and Haida about Foster Care Appreciation Month and programs they have that can support your journey as a foster care parent. Those conversations are coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon from your community-supported public media station, KTOO. You can also catch us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Let's have this week's Tlingit Word of the Week.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. And this week's word comes from Kushtak U Bill Fawcett. The word this week is Yana'ate.
Yana'ate.
That means wild celery. And here's a sentence. Wild celery is very good. Let's hear it again.
Yana'ate.
Wild celery. Gunas Chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kushtak O'ish Bill Fawcett was Slukach Adi and the child of a Southern Toshone man who passed away before Bill was born. His mother later married Tsihua Bill Fawcett, who helped raise Bill. He lived on Akkwan Ani and enjoyed working with advanced language learners, helping them answer difficult questions about the language.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
And today is First Friday, and over at the Alaska State Museum, they have an awesome exhibit opening today that will run through October 17th. It's Raven Comes Full Circle with Dorothy Grant. It's a retrospective. It's celebrating 40 years of Haida haute couture. The exhibit opens today at 5 p.m., and it will be introduced by Rosita Whirl. They'll also have a dance group that will be performing as well. And then tomorrow, May 2nd at 1 p.m., Dorothy Grant herself will be giving a lecture. That's over at the Alaska State Library Archives and Museum at 395 Whittier Street. And then tomorrow is Juno's 36th annual Blessing of the Fleet. It starts at 10 a.m. at the Alaska Commercial Fishermen's Memorial Wall, located on the Seawalk. The ceremony honors and remembers fishermen and seafarers with a reading of the names on the wall and a blessing of the commercial fishing fleet, as well as other vessels wishing to participate. The event also dedicates new names to add to the wall and welcomes newly recently engraved ones. The Blessing of the Fleet and Reading of the Names ceremony is a secular event organized by the nonprofit Alaska Commercial Fishermen's Memorial. The memorial wall is located on the waterfront next to Taku Fisheries, south of the tram. You can find more info at akcfmemorial.org. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juno at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA. Thank you. You are listening to Community Supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. May is Foster Care Appreciation Month, and I am joined now by Dara Relatos and Ariana Drobet from Tlingit and Haida Gwnaith Chish. Hi, Yadi. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both here today. Wasiati. How are you, Adriana?
I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, Ariana. Not Adriana. Yeah.
The D is silent.
I put
silent.
A D in there.
Yeah.
D is silent. It's Ariana. And Dara, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Excellent. Welcome both of you to the show. This is an interesting month, Foster Care Appreciation Month. Can one of you tell me a little bit about what that is?
I will go for it. So it's National Foster Care Month. I always am looking for an appreciation, but there's no appreciation.
Oh, it's just National Foster Care Month. Okay.
And we wanted to make sure for us specifically that we're celebrating the people in our communities who are actually taking care of our children and our foster system.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And I'm sure there's probably a website nationally that you could find for National Foster Care Month.
Yeah, if you just type that in Google, I don't know the actual
website. No, it's okay. Website. Yeah, I figured there's probably some, because there's probably some celebrations or events around it that people could participate about or
yes,
find out
more
information.
Yes, and I'll say this now at the top here, that we're here also because in this month we're going to have a couple of appreciation events for foster parents. I don't want to give dates or locations at this time, but if you have not received information, which you should have, about these events that are occurring, to contact me, and you can call Tlingit and Haida at 707-463-7172.
7-4-6-3-7-1-7-2.
Yes.
And they can ask for you and get information
and
get
be
on
happy.
The list.
Yes, please. They're invited. So you're invited. If you're out there taking care of foster children, please contact me and let me know.
Okay, so let me ask you each a little bit about what you do at Tlingit and Haida. Tara, will you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, I am a special projects coordinator, so I get to have a really unique opportunity where I get to have a hand in all of the different projects going on in our departments. Mm. So particularly for this month in terms of foster care, I've been planning different foster events or these awareness opportunities.
That's a pretty cool job.
Yeah, it's a great job. It's so fun.
You get to work with various departments too, right? So that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And Ariana, what about you? What do you do over there at Tlingit and Haida?
I'm the program coordinator for the family well-being and with the Tribal Youth Family Services here in Juneau. So pretty much we have a program called Family Well-Being. We also have initial assessments, diligent relative search and under our program. So, but I was going to talk about the family well-being because we do that to help families to like a support to mitigate any kind of like maybe OCS so we don't get to the point where there is a removal.
I see. Okay. So take me through that a little bit slower, like in terms of what, because you, there was a lot of anacronyms in there, and I want to know what those are.
Acronyms.
Yeah,
I'm
acronyms,
so sorry.
I said anacronyms even. I was like.
I like that word. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that. So like OCS is the.
Office of Children and Services.
Okay. Yes. There's that. And then what was the other ones that you were talking about in there?
So we do IAs, which is initial assessments, which we give tribal representation to families that if OCS goes to the door, they can request a representative, and we can assist them during the process to make sure their tribal rights are followed.
I see. Okay, that's great. And then so the office is called the family?
Tribal Family Youth Services.
Tribal Family Youth Services, right. And so that encompasses a lot of things.
It does.
And one of them would be foster care as well, right? In terms of how, because if is it something like where if OCS, the child services, does come and remove a child, are you then helping them try to find another home that could foster that child that's in the community?
Yes. So what we do is we have the DRS, which is the Diligent Relative Search. She's actually, her name is Regina Hodge. She works out of Haines, and she is really good. What she does is she calls families. And she asked to see if there's any relatives that will take the children in.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we work that way. Also, under the Tribal Family Youth Services, we have ICWA, which is the Indian Child Welfare Act. And under ICWA, we have ICWA representatives. So if the children are removed and it goes to court, then you are entitled to have your ICWA representative.
Okay, I see.
So all we right. have a good amount of ICWA. That's what a lot of people know us for.
Yeah, I've heard of ICWA, of course. I know it was in the news a year or so ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was. And so there's a lot of important factual law there, too, that needs to be covered and followed, right? So
right.
that's
right.
really, really, really good. And it's funny to hear Katrina Hotch's name because
Georgiana.
Georgiana Hotch. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I heard Katrina. I was like, because that was an actor here in Juneau a long time ago.
Was it?
I wonder if it's related to the Hotch family. Maybe.
I'm going to have to ask her. I'm all like, famous.
What do you call the diligent relative?
Diligent relative search.
Yeah. So you find out if Katrina's still around.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that I wanted to be on here while we talk about this is because of the drastic numbers.
Yeah.
And this is a really important part of all of this to me.
Yeah.
In the state of Alaska, Alaska Native and American Indian people represent 22% of the entire population, the children. Mm. Within the child welfare system, that number 70% is represented. And in Southeast Alaska, as of today, that number is 81%. So 81% of all children in foster care in Southeast Alaska are Native children.
Oh, wow.
And that is a staggering number. And while we talk about ICWA and the Indian Child Welfare Act, which was initially brought to protect children from being ripped from their families and assimilated into white Western culture, I think we're still seeing a variation of that in this terms of 80% of children in foster care currently are Native. And
now,
that's overrepresented.
That is a huge number. And I know that there's anyone can apply to be a foster parent, but is part of the goal here to have Tlingit and Haida to find a Native family to have the foster child in? Is that, I mean, obviously we start with the diligent relative service. We hope we can find a relative who might take them in. But what would be the next step if you can't find a relative, Ariana?
We encourage all Native families to give us a call.
Mm-hmm.
We have the documentation to help them get started on their process to become foster homes.
Okay.
So it is a lengthy process, but we help at Tlingit and Haida. We can help them gain, you know, their foster care license if they are requiring some kind of assistance or aid. We do have, you know, different things that they require, like say, baby gates. You know, and sometimes you can't find baby gates here in Juneau. You know, Fred Meyers is out.
So, right. Limited supply.
Yeah. So we can get that for them and we can help them obtain that license in a much easier fashion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there specific, I don't want to put you on the spot to know all the specifics of that right now, but is there somewhere they can find information about what some of those requirements might be to be a foster parent?
Yes. If they contact us and they call the main number, they can ask for me, Ariana.
Okay.
And I'm the only Drobet, I think, in Juneau. So Ariana Drobet. so if they contact me, I could send them the forms by email, or if they want to come pick up a form, and it has everything that they need.
Okay.
Listed, you know, and if they need help filling out the applications, because I know sometimes those words can be hard to fill out. You know, my staff. With Family Wellbeing, my staff can help them fill out the forms.
Yeah, and you can answer questions and queries and figure out, is there a minimum, some things that you have to qualify minimally, like how many people are already in your home or salary or household income or things like that you have to qualify for?
I don't know about the household income. That I'm unsure about, but, you know, it's good to have a place for them to be, like an extra room, you know, things like that, you know, like space for a child. Like if you have 3 bedrooms and you're only occupying 2, do you want to, you know, have another child come in and help out with the foster care shortage? Because there is a shortage here.
Yeah, absolutely. And can anybody apply to the Tlingit and Haida foster system, or is it mostly for tribal members to apply?
I mean, anybody can apply. We could send it to them. The application is not uniformed for tribal, but it is the basic application for anybody.
Okay.
So we could send it to them.
Great. And Dara, you were talking about the numbers, and I'm curious, like, has there been some research or has there been something about, like, why that number is so high? Like, is there reasons, and can we do something about that?
I would love to answer that, but I don't think I can get into that totally at this moment. But I think there's a lot of reasons why. I think there's a lot of perhaps misunderstanding around Native culture when certain mandatory reporting has to happen, which is why, and I really want to reiterate this family well-being program, mm-hmm. because they're there to help mitigate those exact things, those misunderstandings between perhaps a mandatory reporter and a family, and try and help bridge those gaps of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So some of it's that. Some of it is probably a lot of different factors, including environment and what have you. But
yeah, I'm sure Tlingit and Haida is working with city government or state government as well all the time to try to figure out.
We are in a state collaboration group with other tribes across the state. And OCS, it's a constant process that we are continuously working on. And I just want to say really quickly, too, that another identifying factor in terms of not having enough foster homes is we are aware that housing is very expensive in Southeast Alaska, mm-hmm. that multiple generations can be living in one house, and there's just simply not enough space for them. So if you also have creative solutions, we're looking for ideas all the time. You know, if you're in a community right now and you're like, I've had a really cool idea, like, reach out to us and let's daydream together.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that was going to be one of my other questions here is if I can't necessarily take on a foster because I don't have space or I don't have the ability or whatever that might be, or maybe I don't qualify for some reason, what else can I do as a person that might help this situation out? What is there things that I could offer that may not be foster parenting?
Yeah, you could refer a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you can't do it, but you're like, hey, my friend A really is good. Like they've got room. They're really good people. They, you know, they want to help out the community. Refer a friend, you know, and just say, you know what, hey, I think you'd be a great, like, Dara, I think you'd be a great foster parent, you know. But, yeah, that would be, like, the best we can do is get referrals from the community.
Yeah, absolutely.
And talk to each other, right?
Yeah.
Have conversations with your family about foster care. That's also important. In your community, have those conversations and talk about these really important numbers, 81% of all kids in foster care here.
And that's in Southeast.
That's Southeast specific.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And the number was already high for the state, right?
The number for the state is 68 to 70%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not much higher than the state average,
but
it's significant.
Yeah, that's a lot. Is there, now I know you don't want to get into specific times or dates yet for events this month, but what kinds of things are you thinking about doing?
Well, we're going to have a coffee shop event at the Sacred Grounds. I will say that. That's, and anybody should go check out the new Sacred Grounds over at the Andrew Hope Building here on Willoughby. And, OCS and us always host a parent appreciation dinner.
Oh, cool.
So that will also be coming. Yeah, and the children. If you have not received invitations again to either of those, please reach out to me.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And I haven't been to the new Sacred Grounds yet because I knew it was closed. And like every time I walked by, I saw that it was being worked on. But it's open.
It's open. It looks like it's being worked on. They are still working on the deck out front, but you can go to the side entrance.
Okay.
And get yourself a wonderful, it's beautiful in there. It really is.
I love
is.
That. And of course, you can also hit the downtown location.
Yes, on HIT.
Over there for Sacred Grounds. And Ariana, what are some ways that is there specific information on like tlingitandhaida.gov website? Is there do you guys have a department website on there, like a link?
We do. If you go to Tlingit and Haida, you'll basically see us under family well-being.
Okay.
Because a lot of the big portion of what I help is prevention.
Mm-hmm.
So the family well-being helps like families, and they prevent, you know, for weekly intervention, we do actually weekly home case management. Okay. And connect people to resources. So this is a lot. We work a lot closely with OCS. So this is a lot of like intensive services. Mm. So families can like, because sometimes OCS is called, but they kind of just need that little help, you know, like a ride to TANF or a ride to, which is temporary assistance for needy families or something like that. And we help. So if you go to Tlingit and Haida's webpage, you can find us under Family Wellbeing.
Family Wellbeing. Okay, mm-hmm. That's great. That's good to know. Because I know that in addition to the foster care program and things like that, you've got so many other options that people can call about and say, hey, I need a little help. And even if you don't know if they have a program, you could probably call Ariana and she'll direct you to the right place.
I can, but we also have our community navigators.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
Our community navigators are really good resources for if, like, you don't know. You're like, I just need help with this. And our community navigator will tell you, oh, call Ariana, call Dara.
Oh, you know? Nice. I love that.
I have something. How does somebody get into Family Wellbeing? How could they?
Well, you can actually come to our office. We're at 410 Willoughby on the third floor. You could get referred by the school counselors, by the police department, by OCS, or, you know, you're just saying, hey, I'm really struggling. I don't have the means. Give me a call. You know, we can do that as well. We do have openings right now for that. I have two wonderful case managers that are working hard with a lot of the community right now.
I love that. That's mm-hmm. great. That's good to know. And you can also call the number 463-7172 mm-hmm. and ask for either Ariana or Dara and get more information. And where can we look out for these events that are coming up, Dara? Is it to call you, get on the list?
You got to call me, yeah.
Call you, get on the list.
Yeah.
I love that.
You're probably on my list, but I just want to make sure. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. It's Foster Care Awareness Month. And Dara and Ariana were here from Tlingit and Haida. I really appreciate you being here today. Gunath Cheech, was there anything else that we wanted to mention?
No, I just want to say don't forget to be kind and compassionate with each other.
Oh, that's
this is a hard time.
That's a good message. Thank you so much. Gunath Cheech for being here today. I really appreciate it. Okay, this is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017. 7 days a week. I love the blues. That's little Dottie Kelly, who's going to be part of the 40th annual Spring Festival from Juno Jazz and Classics. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. It is happening. The Juno Jazz and Classics Spring Festival is in full swing. It's been going on for, I don't know, about a week almost, I think. And we have about another week to go. And here to help us navigate through the remainder of the festival is artistic director Zul Bailey and executive director Alex, is it Sirio?
Sirio, yes.
Sirio, okay, great. Well, good to the chief for being in here today. Wasi Adi Zul, nice to see you again.
Great to see you.
Absolutely. And Alex, nice to meet you. How
nice
are
to meet you
today?
You as well. I'm well. Yeah.
So, Alex, you are the relatively new executive director for the Juno Jazz and Classics, but you're no stranger to Zul. You're no stranger to music in Southeast. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Oh, sure, yeah. So I've been working with Zul for 4 years at the Sitka Music Festival and touring throughout Alaska. And before that, I ran a community school in Philadelphia. So big into education, and I love the work that Juno does with education that Zul believes in, and that Sandy, who preceded me, did with education as well. And that's a big part of what drew me here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know that this part of this festival, Zul, is not just to bring the artists in to have awesome concerts for the public, but they come and they educate and they go into the schools, and that's a big mission for the Juno Jazz and Classics, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is what brought me to the table as well. We did a Brownback concert today. You know, someone took the time out of their lives pre or post concerts, the official concerts, to come to my school and get my schools to teach us to how to listen and to become culturally aware. And because of that, I'm in music and I forge forward trying to do the same as people did for me. Yeah. Back then. So through this festival. I will say about Alex Sirio, though, we've been working in conjunction, the Sitka Festival and the Juno Jazz and Classics, for years. And so we've been working symbiotically in the touring and sharing of artists and travel and things like that. So it was such a gift to have him step in for as long a chapter as we can keep him as the interim executive director, because it was already working. It was already in place. And he and I have had a wonderful dance so far with the same exact priorities on what a festival and a musical soul is to a community. It's to bring it together. It's to rally. It's to be inspired, to bring local musicians together as well. And this is kind of what we've been doing. The first week was all classical and slowly tilting towards the blues, which starts today.
Starts tonight. And I have a picture of you from earlier today.
Oh, yes.
Had to sub in. Dottie was a little delayed, but she will be here for tonight's concert.
Yes.
But you had to step in and play, and these kids they're raising their hands,
oh, yes.
They're asking questions.
Well, what I loved is that I got to walk on a blues stage full of equipment and amplification and all the disco lights and everything ready for tonight to play solo cello. So I actually brought my carbon fiber instrument to look a little cooler than normal.
I love that.
Got them ready to shout and to scream and to have a great time, because tonight's the big dance, the blues dance at the Jack.
Yeah, that's absolutely awesome. And I love it, because even if they were expecting blues and they saw you instead, not a letdown at all, of course, but like it might have actually, what if it inspired, if you can inspire like one kid in the audience to like maybe think about music a little bit differently, whether it's the blues or the classical music or the violin, I mean,
yeah,
that's a cool thing.
I think today was more than one.
Yeah.
I think that I've never given so many high fives my entire life. Like there was a chain of about 50 people that all needed double high fives. One fist bump, but high five saying, thank you so much. I love the cello. I love music. And I kept yelling the phrase, Zul in school, Zul in school. But yeah, they're ready. I mean, based on the wiggles. Because they were all elementary school. I think they're ready to dance tonight at the blues jazz. Yeah. I'm sorry, the blues dance.
I love that. Music in this town and the music education with jam and with Juno Jazz and Classics, it's just amazing. And I want these programs to continue to inspire the youth. But as you mentioned, there is a calendar of events that is left for the coming week. Obviously, you've had some things happening already for the last week or so. But tonight is the Blues Blues Brown. Oh, no, that's the Blues Dance with that's Dottie Kelly, who we were listening to before
7
the interview. Yeah, 7 p.m.
at the Jack.
At the Jack. Yep. Okay. And that's and she has a band with her? And...
She has a band, yeah.
Awesome.
Bass, guitar, and drums.
Yeah, and she's one of these that gets off the stage and runs through the audience and gets everyone going crazy. So it's going to be going to be spectacular. And she is a riot.
Yeah.
So yet again, kudos to Linda Rosenthal for creating this thing 40 years ago, because nothing like this existed. Now it's a little bit more common because of kind of the melting pot of how music is presented. But this is really the example. And to be sitting in the middle of the eye of the storm during our 40th anniversary festival, it really is a pinch yourself moment for what it represents, how it rallies a very unique community, the capital of Alaska, as well as of kind of where we've come from. I always say standing on the shoulders of giants, and Linda Rosenthal is the queen.
And I'm sure you're probably giving her many shout-outs on this 40th anniversary.
I shout. I mean, I listen.
Every year, I'm sure, yes.
We would not be here without her.
Yeah.
So I say it every single time just because this is not normal.
Yeah, has inspired so many people, and it just continues to happen. And then so if you miss Dottie Kelly tonight, is the Blues Cruise sold out?
We have space.
So yes. If you can't make tonight's show, you can always go on the cruise.
That's
and
right.
Lose it out tomorrow
and
night.
That, yes. We're going to try to make the cruise rockin' tiltin' as much as we possibly can. There may not be a disco ball, but I think that it's going to be amazing too.
Yeah, that's cool. And so that is happening tomorrow at 8 p.m. It departs from Stater Harbor.
Yes, and we have a discount running on that right now too.
Okay.
It doesn't apply if you already bought your tickets, but if you haven't bought your tickets yet and you use the code ROYAL in all caps, that's R-O-Y-A-L, you get $30 off.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you can go, and you can find that at jazzandclassics.org,
yes.
Right? The ticketing site? Okay. And then, of course, it continues. We're going to have more blues, but then we're going to have some solo piano on Sunday, May 3rd. Tell us a little bit about Matt Herskowitz.
Yeah. The idea is to always kind of combine fresh faces, new sounds with familiar friends. And Matt Herskowitz has been here in my past, even my tenure here, which has been 7 years already. And Matt is a rare breed. Matt is a classically trained pianist that I went to Juilliard with, who in the off hours would go into the jazz clubs and tear it up. I mean, he realized very quickly that, you know, a lot of people can play the piano really well, but no one can do what Matt can do on the piano jazz wise. And then he's found another flavor, another gear, which is why he's being featured so heavily on Sunday as a solo pianist, is that he's going to fusion Chopin and boogie woogie.
What? Okay,
that's right.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. And again, nothing like you'll ever experience. And this is, again, a feather in the cap of the Juno Jazz and Classics, that we get someone who brings, because we have a classics, jazz and blues and World Festival and all these things that come in, that kind of in one concert, one guy. And then a few days later, we bring in his trio to join him in a traditional, more traditional jazz kind of smaller ensemble setting.
The jazz jam.
Yeah, there's the jazz jam, and then
that's Tuesday, May. Blanking on the date.
Oh,
May
that's
5th.
Different because okay,
yeah,
that's the
jazz jam
before,
is free the night before, so they're joining Luke Weld at the Crystal Saloon.
Oh, nice.
And they're
going to
do about a
20
minute set, and then Luke will run the jam and people can jam with members of the band.
Oh, I see. Yeah. But Matt will be there for that.
What you're also noticing is that we are kind of requiring our artists to be in residence here. You know, so many people haven't been to Alaska.
Yeah.
And when they come here, they don't want to leave. And so we tell them, you know, really become part of our community, become part of the fabric, get to know everybody, socialize. So when you walk on stage, you've got your cheering family, Juno family behind you. So Matt will be here for almost a week. The classical people were here almost a week. We've got lots of other artists that were here. Natasha Peremski was here, the wonderful, prodigious pianist. And they really dig in to the community. So that's why we're bringing the multifaceted. You know, Natasha played her solo recital and then joined me for a recital. Matt is playing his solo recital on Sunday at Northern Light Church, United Church. The fusion of kind of classical and jazz, which is kind of perfect to tilt us towards straight jazz later in the week. And then we get to the big exclamation point, amongst other things, Biriba Union.
And that's going to close us out, right? They're going to have a free concert on Thursday, May 7th at noon at the Jack.
Correct. Mike Block will be leading that.
That's going to be awesome. And then also we're going to have on next Friday – which is the day after they perform for you. But the Navy Band,
that's correct,
is going to be performing with you all on Thursday evening for free at the 5:30 hour at the
Jack.
Yes,
rush hour concert.
Yeah, and then they're going to be on our show on Friday. And then the Navy Band's here for a couple of days. They're going to be at the Maritime Festival.
Yes, yes.
I think we've seen them there before, and that's awesome. I'm going to have an eight-piece. I think they're going to be eight pieces in here.
Oh, my goodness.
That's going to blow the studio
out
a little
bit. Yes,
it is. But it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll just turn the mics down a little bit. But tune in next Friday if you want to hear that. Or go see them at the Brown Bag concert. The Rush Hour concert at 5:30 on Thursday, May 7th. And then on Saturday, you mentioned.
Yeah, I have to say, you get your tickets now because it's selling extraordinarily well very early. Biriba Union with Uruguayan electric bass, cello. I mean, Mike Block sounds like James Taylor singing, and he chops. What I mean by chops is he takes the bow and he makes sounds on the cello, kind of like Mark O'Connor and Appalachian fiddling and percussive elements and playing the cello and singing like, as they said, James Taylor. But the X factor is this unbelievable beatboxer.
Yeah.
And this one man, while playing guitar, singing, and a microphone, sounds like a 40-piece band, the way he makes the sounds and all the special effects with his body. I've never seen anything like it.
That's
and there's
a
whole story behind this that I will tell another time, especially at the show. But this is a one-time – well, let me put it this way. You can say you heard them first because they just started this band about our group about a year and a half ago. They made their first record months ago that'll be coming out soon. And it is extraordinary and a perfect punctuation mark on the 40th anniversary. Biriba Union.
Yeah, Biriba Union, their album Passing Go is going to be coming out on July 10th.
Yep.
And we'll hear one of those singles at the end of this interview here. And you get an example of the beatbox guy.
Yeah, he's extraordinary.
In their first
style.
There's two singles that are out from it already, but the full album, again, will come out in July. So catch them while they're here in Juneau. That's going to close out the festival.
Correct.
On Saturday, and that's May 9th. And then that'll be the Spring Festival.
Yep.
And then, Alex, what happens then? Do we already begin to plan next year's festival? We go right into planning, or are we going to Sitka? What's happening?
Well, we do go into planning, but I left out that we're going to Gustavus as well next week. So Matt Erskowitz, he's here on May 6th for the Jazz Trio concert. And then May 7th, he flies over to Gustavus, and he plays for all of the students there and then does a concert. And then he comes back before he goes to Chicago.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, so
we're reaching out to the other communities here. That's cool. And is there going to be collaboration? I know there has been collaboration between Sitka Brass and Juneau Jazz and Classics in the past, right? There's been a little bit of collaboration. Is there more of that in the future then?
Well, I mean, this is how it all started. Back in 2000, I believe 10, so a long time ago, Linda Rosenthal began asking me to come over and do annual fundraising benefits to jointly support both Sitka and Juneau. So we've been working together for a long time. And because Sitka runs more all year round now, we have been evolving that. So your question was, what's next? We're evolving Juneau to be a year-round presence as we can with special events. Of course, always having the May annual festival. But like we do with Sitka in June, there will be many special events throughout the year to keep people happy and entertained and to keep the lights on, to be honest.
Yeah. So you'll be back to play and do some things and
collaborate. We're bringing artists from in all different genres to visit Alaska.
Yeah.
And we want them to come through the auspice of Juneau Jazz and Classics as much as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Juneau deserves that.
Absolutely. 40 years of Juneau Jazz and Classics, which is pretty amazing.
Isn't that when everything starts to hurt?
That's when the doctor says, well, you can take the, you know, ibuprofen to help you, but then that's going to cause kidney failure. So your choice, whichever
one you want. It hurts when I do this, and they're like, stop doing
that. They're like, stop doing that. Don't do that anymore. It's awesome. The Juno Jazz and Classics Festival is happening. It goes all the way through next Saturday, May 9th. You can find the full schedule at jazzandclassics.org. The Blues Dance is tonight at 7 p.m. with Dottie Kelly. There's a Blues Cruise, which Alex mentioned. There's a $30 off coupon if you use the code ROYAL, all caps. And then, of course, go catch Matt Herskowitz Sunday at Northern Light United Church. That sounds really awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
To meld those, fuse those things, those genres together.
If you can see, if you can get a good look at his eyes when he's playing classical, you can see him. When he breaks into the improv and the jazz, they roll back in his head.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it's. I shouldn't have said that on the air. But
no,
I think it's
gonna be cool.
You're like, oh my god!
Yeah, you get that image in your head. But no, he gets possessed.
He goes into this zone that like it's all his, and you know it's a free flow and it's eruptive.
I love it.
A few years ago in Sitka, I witnessed him go into an improv, and it was about 30 minutes long. He just couldn't stop. And it was some of the most amazing stuff I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it's Mozartian.
That's going to be awesome. That's on Sunday, and that's at 2 p.m. It's a little afternoon possession. I love it. That's going to be so cool. All right, thank you so much, Alex. Nice to meet you, Zul. Nice to see you again.
Always.
We're going to listen to a little Biriba Union. This is the first single off their upcoming album, Pass and Go. This is called Pompano, I believe. And this is a really cool instrumental that you'll get to hear here on Juno Afternoon. Thanks so much, Gunachis, for being here, boys.
Thanks for having us.
Ready, set, go. How many styles we combined in a show? I start on my far left, then I work around. Three different people with a distinct sound. On the bass line, we got Patricia Lee here all the way from Uruguay. On cello from the U.S., we got Mike Block. And I'm Christoph Baker with guitar in the beatbox.
Hey. pants and grass. Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha anikak. Gunish cheese.
This is Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm Boston Christopher. Tonight, over at Kunikidi Northern Light United Church at 7 o'clock, it's recorders, clarinets, horns, saxophones, and more.
Yes.
Juno Community Band's Spring Winds is happening. Hear your friends and neighbors playing in small ensembles. That's the verbiage I got off the website today.
Well, that sums it up pretty well.
I love it. No admission. Donations are accepted, and Sarah McNair Grove joins me now to share more. Gunnath Cheese Wasiti. How are you today, Sarah?
I'm great. Thanks for having us.
Okay, that's so cool. I love it. It's First Friday.
That's right.
And so, in my mind, it's First Friday. You get out there, you go over to the market that's already started over at Sea Alaska Plaza, the Made in Alaska Market, mm-hmm. Which we had on the show yesterday. And then you go to First Friday, you do some activities, see all that awesome artwork, and then you hop over to the Northern Light United Church.
That's right, and you can sit and relax after you've done all your walking around and hear some great music.
Yeah, I love that. So remind folks about Juno Community Bands, because this is a really cool concept. This is a bunch of local folks who get together and play in a variety of bands.
That's right. Probably the part of us that most people know is the Juno Volunteer Marching Band, which shows up once a year in the 4th of July parades. And so we've got that activity coming up pretty soon.
Pretty soon. I can't imagine.
Yeah. In addition to that, we have a couple of ensembles that allow us to play different kinds of music than just the marches that you hear in the parades. So we have a wind ensemble, which is for more experienced players, and we have the Juno Volunteer Marching Band, which also does some sit-down concerts just before the parade. And one of the other things that we like to do is have chamber music concerts. And chamber music is smaller ensembles where it kind of lets the individual players shine a little bit more than when you're sitting in a large group of 40 people playing. And so these are smaller ensembles from 2 to 9 people in each one.
So how many ensembles are there tonight?
We have, I think, seven different groups.
Oh, wow.
And that involves maybe 25 different people.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. And I guess it gives them the opportunity, too, because then when they want to rehearse, it's not trying to get all the 40 people together. You can actually say, hey, come over to my house, bring your instruments.
We're going to work on this. That's frequently what happens, yes.
I'll have some food, and we'll figure it out, and we'll figure out which pieces we're going to play. So that's kind of cool. So what kind of stuff are we going to hear tonight?
Well, one of the pieces is kind of fun because it's written by a local composer, Beth Leibowitz.
Oh, awesome.
And that happens to be a piece that I'm playing in, and it consists of...
Name drop right there.
Yeah, two recorders and two clarinets.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a different, different instrumentation you don't normally hear.
So you normally only have like one recorder in a group like that?
Or? We don't have any recorders. Recorders are... Well, they're an ancient instrument, similar in sound to a flute, but they're not a flute.
It's, okay.
You often hear them in Baroque and Renaissance music.
Yeah.
And it's also, the kids in elementary school will often learn to play instrument on recorders
at
first.
Yeah, they start there,
That's
right?
That's where people may hear them a lot.
I see. So this piece that you're talking about from Beth Leibowitz, it's two recorders and two?
And two clarinets, a clarinet and a bass clarinet.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's really kind of fun. So that's probably the most unique piece just because of the instrumentation as well as being written by somebody here right in Juno.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece that I think is sort of an interesting instrumentation is a duet between an oboe and an English horn. And an English horn is very similar to an oboe. It's just a little bit bigger, so it has a little bit deeper, richer sound. And we've got two of our lovely... double reed players doing that.
Cool.
Yes. We have a saxophone trio.
Okay, love that.
We have a horn ensemble, and this is our largest group, so there are 9 French horn players.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's going to be nice and loud, right?
Yes, it's a gorgeous sound, and Juno is really fortunate to have a lot of French horn players in town, so they can bring 9 of them together.
And is this mostly, are they playing classical music pretty much?
I would say generally tends to be classical, a little bit of lighter classical side, but yeah, tends to be sort of classical type of music.
Yeah. And sometimes it's written music written for those specific instruments, or do people sometimes arrange?
They sometimes arrange them. One of the other pieces is written by Beethoven, and it was originally written for 2 oboes and English horn, but the group that's playing it is 2 flutes and a clarinet.
Oh,
so it was arranged, but it was a piece written by Beethoven.
Okay. And so I'm curious, like, is there a conductor for all these folks, or are they playing this? Because, like, chamber music, you don't necessarily need that, right? You're sort of...
Chamber music generally does not use a conductor. The French horn ensemble, which is 9 people, is using a conductor just because that's getting a little bit large to be able to do it without a conductor. But the other ones are all... conductorless.
And you're like, because you're sort of relying on your
partners.
So
you have to watch each other.
Communicate.
You know, where's your entrance?
Yeah.
Can you kind of bob and move so that you can stay together?
Yeah.
Instead of having the conductor that's waving their arms, you have to watch the other members of your group to kind of stay together.
I love that. How long have you been involved in Juno community bands?
Oh, my goodness. Probably going on 20 years, maybe more than that.
Wow.
Yeah, when I first moved to Juno, which was mid-90s, it was really just the Juno Volunteer Marching Band, which played a concert in the park, you know, the week before the 4th of July parades, and that was my start. And then over the years, we've grown to do some of these other kinds of things.
That's pretty cool. And I know you've mentioned that it's a variety of, you know, levels of beginner to intermediate to advanced for, like, Taku Wins, things like that. You have more advanced people. So if I'm somebody who's maybe new to town, or if I'm interested in playing with the group, is that something that I can do? Can I reach out to you or reach out to the email?
You certainly can. And actually, just like this past week, I've had 2 people say they'd like to join us who haven't. So, and this is a perfect time to do that, because the concerts that are coming up for the 4th of July are open to anybody. Youth have finished 7th grade. But that's really the only requirement. You have to be able to play your instrument and read music. But, it's open to anybody who wants to do that. As I mentioned, our Taku Winds, our wind ensemble, we do kind of steer that towards our more experienced players. But the stuff we have coming up in the next month is 7th grade and older. You're welcome to join us.
Because I've heard, I think you've said this before on the show, that you're not teaching people how to play, right? They need to know how to
play. They need to know how to play.
Yeah, and read music and be able to be part of that. So that's where you are at if you're wanting to join. And you can probably email junocommunityband@gmail.com, right?
That's correct.
Okay, that's the way you do that. And then you mentioned, I'm sure you'll be back on the air to talk about this as we get closer.
We'd love to come back and talk about our 4th of July in a couple of weeks.
Are you doing the plaza, the Sea Alaska
we
Plaza
We are,
again?
Actually, if we have a couple seconds, we're doing 2 concerts this year. And for the first time, we did a youth solo competition for high school students. And the winner of that competition was a clarinet player, Foster Rushton. And he is going to play a solo with the band. And we thought, because it's a solo, we wanted to have an indoor concert. So that will be on June 28th, Sunday afternoon at Thunder Mountain.
Okay.
And then the following week on July 3rd, which is a Saturday, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we plan on being outside downtown.
Oh, that's a great way to, like, pre-do the fireworks, right?
That's right. Get in the spirit for the fireworks.
Yeah, and you play all kinds of cool, like, tunes that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, we'll see you at the parade.
In the parades.
Of course, we'll see you in the parade. Both, and you do both, don't you?
We do Juno and Douglas.
Yeah, I love that. That's so great. But tonight is the night that you want to hang out over at the Kinnickety Northern Light United Church, 7 p.m., it's chamber music. It's the spring concert from Juno Community Bands. There is no cost.
There's no cost. Just come. If you want to support us, there's a donation bucket, but just come and enjoy the music.
Just come and enjoy the music. Sarah McNair Grove, I really appreciate you being here. And the best place to follow for more information, you're on Facebook? We have your website.
Facebook, but also our website has a list of the repertoire for tonight if you want to see more details.
Right. The Juno Community Band.com, right? Is it org? Okay, mm-hmm. It's org. And you can find out all that information from there. Sarah, thanks so much for coming in today.
Great.
And telling us a little
bit about it. Look forward to seeing you tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Here's a little bit more Biriba Union on Juno Afternoon.
I call you on the telephone. I talk to you till late at night. When we aren't synced, this life feels alright. Even though we're far apart, alone with our broken hearts, gazing up at all the same stars. Under the moon, imagine me and you. Our love is shining through and through. No matter how far we sit apart tonight, all the same stars are burning bright. Every time I look up at the sky, I think about us, dream about us, all the stars say, don't give up on love today. Then there was the other day, when you had to go and say, you don't want me anymore to be your babe. Now we are so far apart, alone with our broken hearts, gazing up at all the same stars. Under the moon, imagine me and you. Our love is shining through and through. No matter how far we sit apart tonight, all the same stars are burning bright. A new astrologic chart talking about how you want it out starting right now. Can't you see that what we have is totally worth another chance? It's just a fact out on the map. Let's get it back. Yeah, then you broke my heart with a new astrologic chart talking about how you want it out starting right.
That'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Local stories, local people, local connections. Enjoy a beautiful first Friday on the first day of May. Juno is blessed to have the arts and culture scene that we do. Get out and enjoy it this weekend. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. You can also find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. You can also find live stream archives over on KTOO's YouTube page. Support comes from Country Financial, Hanson Grass, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Tongass Federal Credit Union. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Trepp. Gonna cheese, Juno. Have a great weekend!